I mean, really, first time getting up there. You know, obviously, I've said some things to the guys in the huddle and obviously the offense during practice, but you're really in the meeting room. I wouldn't say I was, really that nervous, but exactly like Fred said, really the first time. And I think Jacoby's did a great job during training camp of really doing it. And he still does it, throughout the season of getting the offense, real leader on the offense. So he's trying to sell my part, and I think the point got across. So that's the main thing.
Drake May yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. He was early. He was on my drive home yesterday.
Unreal.
You can check out the full interview. Good stuff with Arcan and Hart. Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can watch the full interview as well on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. I still love that Drake May asked, didn't just do it, by the way.
Yeah.
Asked to address the team.
It's pretty good.
And he said, guys, we're practicing like crap. I'm paraphrasing, but like, we're practicing like crap. We're going through the motions. We're getting in practice mode. We're just doing this, doing that, practicing just to practice. We got to practice with a purpose. These are plays we're running for a reason, so that when we get out there on Sunday, we pick up the yard we need. We don't just go half-assed through the motions because it's a one-yard run. This is important. We need to pick it up. And they did on Sunday. They didn't the week prior. The difference in the middle was May called him out. And I do think Curran wrote this today, or maybe yesterday, at NBC Sports Boston. We're going to talk to him today at high noon. Tommy Tuesday, Tier Tuesday. Kiefer Madness at 12:45.
Loaded.
Jam-packed. He wrote that, guys want to be led. Players want to be led.
Lemmings.
But they need someone to lead them.
Yeah.
And they need someone who wants to assume that mantle, and you got to respect who that is. I mean, right now, Drake May has that going on. He's the best player on the team. This team is looking for someone to lead them. It's probably not Mayo. It's probably not Alex Van Pelt. They might even be half-tuning those guys out. Drake May's the guy, and he's fitting that bill perfectly, which is something, as much as I like Drake May, he's doing better in that regard than I ever could have anticipated. Like, one you had no idea how that was going to go.
Five starts in, and so he does this four starts in, right? This is pre the game against Chicago, and then you immediately get the results as well. Like, we were talking last segment about how Mayo calls the team out, and then whether you want to give them all credit or some credit or whatever, the next game they win. So Drake May kind of calls the team out about how they're practicing. Next game, they win.
Win going away.
And, like, convincingly.
And it wasn't just the offense, obviously.
It wasn't a shootout or anything, but, like, great. No, the whole team is playing better. And one of the biggest, whether you were of the play Drake May right away or sit him all year or start him halfway through, the one thing everybody agreed on was developing May. We all had a different idea on how you do that.
Mm-hmm.
You and I agreed. We're like, play him. But it's stuff like this, I think, is huge. And you wouldn't do this if he wasn't the starter. He'd have a really hard, it's already difficult for a rookie to take on any kind of like leadership role in any sport, let alone a rookie who's not playing. So he wouldn't have felt the need to step up and yell, like, hey guys, we're not practicing well. And then Jacoby's like, well, I'll take it from here.
Shut up.
Like, all right, you're good. Get your 30% of the reps and like, let's move on. So, like, to me, that's a great sign of like how comfortable he feels with the team. And then for all the guys to be like, oh yeah, hell yeah. And again, what a juxtaposition with Caleb Williams on one side and Drake May on the other.
Striking.
And are those guys playing for Caleb Williams? I don't think so. Like, I don't think they're probably waiting for him to get benched. Just like Carolina. I know Carolina's kind of had a yo-yo it a little bit, but I can't imagine they were all fighting for Bryce Young last year and all that sad when he got benched this year. Now I know he's back in, but yeah, that is something that you don't really know until you see it. Like with any of those guys, I'm sure all the GMs and scouts go through all the interviews and all everything with Williams and Daniels and May. But until you're really put in that situation, until you're in there with like that specific group of teammates, you don't really know how they're going to respond. And so far, I mean, it's only been positive for Drake May.
I mean, it's been unbelievable. Text line or Twitch chat rather makes a good point. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. He only addressed the offense, not the full team. If I said the full team, my mistake. He only addressed the offense.
That's fine.
But the whole team responded the week after he addressed the offense. But that's a fair delineation. And if I misrepresented that, my mistake. Do you think, Keith, and going back to giving the coaching staff credit, I say, hey, I don't think Mayo intentionally called out the team after Jacksonville. I think he just had a hot mic in front of him and just stuck his foot in his mouth like he normally does.
Yep.
And the team indirectly has responded. I don't think that was a big brain chess type of move, but I think the team, you can look at it and say they've responded to it, whether he planned it or not. Do you think Drake May would be the type of leader that he is? And the team would be ready to listen to him if he started week one. Like, is there any element of slow playing him, bringing him along, dropping him in against Houston in week six? Did that aid his leadership development at all? Or do you think it would have been the same if they dropped him in week one?
Yeah, I still think it would have been the same. It just would have been maybe a little bit sooner. They might have been talking about this after like a 49ers game. Maybe you would have said it. I think maybe you squeeze out an extra win or two.
That's also what I think.
I definitely think you play him right away because we heard how the teammates talked about him during camp and before the season started. And they were all very respectful of Jacoby Brissett. But they're all pretty pumped up about Drake May. And then Mayo was the one, once again, who was like, yeah, he's outplayed Jacoby. We're going to go with Jacoby. But it's a competition, and he outplayed him, right? So it was like all that nonsense. So I think at that point, Drake May was already showing signs that he could have done the job.
So that's also what I think. It's impossible to prove.
Yeah, yeah,
and if you want to give them credit for saying, look, they slow played it with him. They developed him. He's a leader. He hit the ground running. Maybe he needed this extra work. I mean, fine, you can give him credit for that. That's not what I believe, but it's impossible to prove one way or the other. I'm just curious how people think and feel about that. But I think the reasons you started Jacoby Brissett, they're being exposed for how faulty they were. Brissett's a leader. He's a veteran. He understands. I mean, Mayo is a leader, and I think he understands an NFL locker room. That's playing out in real time. So Brissett's leadership, that was a marginal win at best. It turns out Drake May can do that. And the lack of mistakes for Jacoby Brissett, May will make a mistake, but he'll also make plays. Jacoby Brissett was making mistakes and no plays. And I think all the logic and reasons to start Jacoby Brissett, they're being exposed. And you may have cost yourself a win or two in the meantime. And those one or two wins are pretty important, Keith.
No, that's what it is.
When you're two wins out of a playoff spot,
yeah.
Those one or two wins are pretty important.
Yeah, especially, like, I really don't think they get to nine wins, certainly now. And nine wins, I still think, is what gets you in. I know some are arguing, hey, maybe this year, the way the AFC is down, maybe it's only eight wins. But regardless, if Drake May plays all season, I think you steal another game or two. I still think even the Drake May game against Tennessee, if you coach that one differently, maybe you win that game. There were very winnable games on there. Two overtime losses and then a five-point slog of a game against Miami. So I'm not here trying to flip the Niners game or the first Jets game. Like, no. Those are losses.
No,
but those
Seattle,
are three.
Miami,
Seattle, Tennessee, Miami.
Those are
like,
games you can flip.
And by the end of the year, yeah, you might miss the playoffs by three games.
Real quick, since you brought up Caleb Williams, can I just read you the full Jeff Howe thing from The Athletic?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
He says, Jeff Howe believes that a midseason offensive regression has raised concerns over Caleb Williams' long-term viability as franchise quarterback of the Chicago Bears.
That is insane.
NFL executives tell The Athletic, Williams has fallen back into many of the bad habits that plagued him at USC. Quote, he's doing the same things he did in college in terms of holding the ball and being inconsistent with his reads. You saw that.
Oh, my God. He got sacked nine times.
He took nine sacks. Yeah. I think five or six were on him. We said that yesterday. He could get away with running around, throwing the ball up for grabs, throwing across his body, and he had some success doing that. You don't get away with that in the NFL too often. I'm a little surprised they haven't been able to clean some of those things up. They don't rule out they could go to Tyson Bagent this year. Sit Williams down and go to Tyson Bagent.
See, I think by firing the offensive coordinator, you at least put that on pause for a few weeks. I don't think you fire the offensive coordinator and go to the backup quarterback.
And fire Eberflus?
Yeah, well, I think Eberflus is gone end of the season, if not sooner. I mean, they might lose out. I mean, they have the toughest schedule remaining. Their schedule's insane. Like, they're probably going to be dogs in every single game.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, to give up on a guy that you took number one overall nine games into his career is nuts.
Nick or Billy, who told me this yesterday? Was it Schefter bringing up the name Bryce Young when talking about
Schefter
Caleb Williams?
Schefter did. He said that Caleb Williams looked like Bryce Young did earlier this year before they benched him.
Dude, I brought up Bryce Young yesterday, but like as like a like, well, he's not Bryce Young.
And I agreed with you.
And everyone's like, no, apparently he is. No, but he had three games this year better than I think anything Bryce Young did a year ago.
I don't think it's fair to compare him to Bryce Young, but the fact
fact
Schefter's going there, what is that guy hearing?
But this also goes to the point, like when everybody was arguing whether rookie quarterbacks should play right away, I think one thing that you had to, I don't think it necessarily breaks them to throw him out there. What I think is if you have that mentality, like if you're a coach or a GM or the owner and you're like, you see nine games and it's not good and then you run away from it, that's crazy. Like that, like you weren't very strong in your convictions to begin with. Guys have bad years. Peyton Manning, Troy Aikman have like horrible, horrible rookie years.
Even Goff.
Jared Goff. And they can figure it out.
So
Sam Darnold.
That juxtaposition, that juxtaposition was on display. May Looks like you found something. He's a leader. Caleb Williams definitely not a leader, never was. And it might be a bigger mess in Chicago than we realize.
Yeah.